5. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And then we'll read Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 25. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And then we're going to be reading Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 25. Romans 5 says at verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for you and me by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight, don't miss that. People will call you all kinds of things. We've been right, made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, look at that, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. And then Romans chapter 7, it's a reality check. You save, you know you're saved, you hope you save somebody. You should know that you're saved, but that doesn't exempt you from struggling. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Hello, somebody. When I want to do the right thing, I find myself doing the wrong thing. Anybody can relate to that? When I said I wasn't going to do that other thing, I found myself repeating what I said I wasn't going to do. Verse 22 of Romans 7 says, I love God's law with all my heart, but, man, there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. I don't know where these people get that they don't sin no more. God says, you lying. Verse 24 says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. I want to do right. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Let me repeat verse 6 and 8 of Romans 5, which says, when we were utterly helpless, when we couldn't help ourselves, Jesus came at just the right time and died for our sins. But God showed, verse 8, his great love for us by sending, rescuing us, sending you and I a savior to die for us while we were still in our mess. I want to talk around the thought, the concept, love, a power stronger than sin. Love, a power stronger than sin. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for this, another opportunity to look to you, to appreciate you, to thank you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. A reminder of the sacrifice, the penalty the pain that you bore, the death that occurred on our behalf. Lord, we sometimes seem to forget, if it had not been for Christ, you and I would have no heaven to look forward to. So, Lord, we thank you for reminding us that it was love that conquered sin. When nothing else would work, you did what only you could do. You died. You paid the penalty for our sin. And then you got up so that we might be with you in eternity in a place called heaven. We say yes to your will, your word and your way. Convict, convince, and convert. As only you can, God. The more I think about this sinful world, the more I know we're in trouble. For it's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving always. Amen. Love, a power stronger than sin. Is there anyone in here this morning who would agree with me when I say that sometimes love can be a painful experience? Hello, somebody. Let me see. I see one hand. Love can be a painful experience. In other words, sometimes love hurts. There are times when love hurts real bad. It's a fact of life which has been written about, sung about, and wept about throughout the ages with good reason. Love can be all the more painful when it's not reciprocated. That's right. You ever love somebody that don't love you back? Yeah. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. Help me, Holy Ghost. Anybody ever love somebody and they won't love you back? That hurts. Understand, true love cannot be separated from pain. Because true love is wanting the best for somebody else and hurting for them when they're hurting, but they act like they don't appreciate what you're doing. In other words, you sacrifice you to help them, and they don't appreciate the fact that you're going out of your way to help them. When the old man, the old you said, the heck with you. But because you want to do what God says, you love them in spite of and not because of. I'm talking about love. A power stronger than sin. Bible says, y'all don't want to miss this. Jesus died for me and you while we were yet sinners. Yeah. Yeah. While I was still in the bar. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all looking at me funny. Yeah. While I was doing my own thing. Yeah. While I thought I was doing him a favor to come to church. While I thought I was just pacifying him, oh, let me get this done. Don't you know that without Christ going before you and after you, without him encompassing himself around you, the devil will kill you dead right now? If the devil had his way, particularly if you don't have a relationship with Christ, he would kill you right now so you could be with him in a place called hell and not afford you the opportunity to go to a place called heaven. And you mean to tell me you're going to act like God? You doing him a favor? While I was yet. Y'all looking at me funny. God says, since you are saved and belong to me, I want you to transfer the love that I love you with and love somebody else. John 15, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I don't care if you feel like it or not. I don't know if they roll their eyes at you or not. I don't know if they hang up every time you call them or not. I don't care if they don't want you in their house. I don't care if they're talking about you like a dog. You love them. They treat you wrong. Love them. I didn't say you like it. I ain't say I gotta go with you. I ain't say I gotta be with you. Love them in spite of. Y'all don't want to hear this. Y'all want me to quiet. No one has greater love than this, the Bible says, John 15, to lay down one's life for a friend. Understand this commandment to sacrifice and your life. It's not a call for physical death. Jesus already died. You got people trying to scar themselves up now. Scarring crosses across the head and neck. Yeah. Everybody wants to identify with something. I read an article the other day where it talked about one of these prisoners. They said he's one of the worst prisoners, they said, in the world. I don't know where they get that from. But he loves to kill people. He's tattooed all over his body. And he said his God is the serpent, somebody. He carved an image of a serpent in jail in his forehead, head. Imagine the demonic to make you do that. And then split his tongue so it could do like a serpent. You know what wickedness can do? You know what the devil can do to you if he had to do? You better thank God that Jesus snatched the devil out of your life. Took over and said there's a new sheriff in charge. While you was in your mess, while I was in my mess, he psyched you out like he did me. Party time. Fun time. He was just escorting you right to where he gonna end up for eternity, a place called hell. Dance with me, he said. Party with me, you said. Dress for me, he said. In the end, you're gonna be right with me, because you don't know no better. Jesus already died, but he's calling us to die to self. Deny yourself. And to seek to help somebody else. How do you do that? Your time, your energy, your resources. Somebody in here might say it's because somebody helped you when you didn't want them to help that now you're a believer. It might have taken years. Anybody ever been hurt over a period of years? Anybody, look, let me put it, there are times when I don't want to help you. Anybody ever been there? I'm talking about the family. I don't want to love you. I'm sick and tired of trying to love you and you don't love me back. But here comes God the Holy Spirit. Pointer, I want you to love that ornery, cantankerous son of a gem. Y'all don't say I didn't mess up. I didn't do nothing. Son of a gun. Crystal, son of a gun. Son of a gun. It means when you love in spite of, to actively look for a way to fill that person's need. You're acting as an agent of the same God who saved you. It means to practice, here we go, a give way of life instead of take. It means you got to train yourself to focus on what you can put into the relationship, not just what you can get out of it. See, we don't even like that. We don't even like that because we talk about what can I get out of the deal. God said, if you're my man and my woman, you're going to practice what you can put into it. Because God's going to already supply your needs according to his riches and glory. So you ain't got to worry about them doing reciprocating. God said, this is for my glory. You know what God's glory is. God revealing his awesomeness. And God oftentimes wants to reveal his glory through you and me. Because people know ain't no way she would have not did this or that or he to me. It has to be that God that they're talking about. God's glory is revealed through the way we treat other people when they shouldn't be treated right. I wish somebody would help me. That's why we call to live to God's glory. Live for God's glory. What ways can I live for God's glory that would represent him, that would demonstrate? And guess what? God is also a God of comfort. While you're depleting yourself, God will replenish what you're depleting. When you give it all you can, God will take you into his room of comfort and encouragement. Let you to know that in spite of what it looks like, I've got you. Who is God talking to this morning? I'm talking about love, a power stronger than sin. And do you know that because we're filled with God's love this morning, you can endure pain that you didn't think you could? You don't know how much you can take until you have to take. Y'all ain't gonna help me. As a matter of fact, I found out I couldn't take what I thought I could take until he made me take it.
That's right.
He made me take. Lay down, boy. In the valley of sorrows. Because we're filled with God's love, we can endure pain. We can suppress our fears. We can forgive somebody. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. We can avoid confrontation. You want to fight, God says, I don't want you to fight. I want you to love the hellishness out of them like I loved it out of you. Y'all looking at me funny. I had so much hellishness about me that God loved me so that he got my attention, because I know he shouldn't have treated me with love because I didn't love back. But because he loved me so much, I couldn't help but love him back and ask him, save me. Show me how to love like you. That's how we can love our enemies, and they can't figure it out. That's why I tell you on occasion, I know people can't stand me. And they come up and say, hey, I love you. And I smile and give them a hug. They say, he don't even know. I know. And I'll hug you. But sometimes that's reaping coals on your head. Because I'm not going to do you like you're doing me. Speak with a forked tongue. Y'all gonna give me a few more minutes? See, that's what the power of love is capable of doing through us because of God's grace for us. Y'all better get this stuff. See, in other words, God's grace, his undeserved favor for us and for you and me, is the flow, it's his expression of his love. And that love empowers, there's that word Reverend Pointer, Deacon Target. It empowers you and I to deny self, because you need some power to deny yourself. Oh, yes, you do. You need the power to get in here this morning. Y'all, listen. If the truth be told, that somebody say, you don't know how I struggled to get in here. Man, listen. I struggled to get in here, somebody said. You don't know. I was hoping I didn't have no money to catch the bus. I was hoping I had a flat tire. I was hoping I'd had a bad cold. I was hoping somebody would tick me off so that I would take it out on God and say I ain't gone. Oh, y'all looking at me. For y'all to see the looks. I'm seeing you out there. God's love gives us, empowers us to deny sin and to live for him. And it helps us to live, here we go, with self-control through the Holy Spirit. God doesn't call us to do what he does not enable us or give us the ability to do. So stop saying, I can't do. You can do all things through him, through Christ. Am I right about it? Which strengthens us. See, the sinful flesh can only follow the devil and commit sinful behavior. Don't tell me to listen. I was listening to some people and they said, that, you know, what do you think will happen after you die? That, you know, you think there's a heaven? And they would say, well, I think there's a heaven. Well, I think there's another place. Somebody said, well, how do you get to heaven? Well, I think if you do as good as you can do, you know, you'll get to heaven. They don't know about you need Jesus Christ. Every good thing that we call good would never qualify us for going to heaven. Am I right about it? Sinful flesh can never get to heaven. That's why you had to somebody have Jesus who didn't have no sin to die for your sins and mine. He paid the penalty. But not only did he pay the penalty and the consequences by dying, but he got up. Resurrection power. Death couldn't hold him. He satisfied God's debt. You gotta die. But then the resurrection power said, you got power to get up. He said, I got power to lay down my life. I have power to take it back up again when I get ready. Sometimes my wife will walk into a room. She said, what you doing? And I'm looking at my notes. See, that's my job, y'all. You know, some of us relate, pastor, to him, he got to be. My job is to prepare how to ask God how to minister to you. What kind of word? Amen. And if I'm not diligently in that study, God says, you're not faithful. So when I'm tired and don't feel like it, I do it in spite of. And every time I go back and look over his word, he shows me some way to do something different. So it means if I didn't go back to study, I'd have missed out what God had for you this morning. Grace is the great equalizer that gives you and I the ability to reject sin in a way the flesh cannot. I'm talking about love. A power stronger than sin. The Lord wants you and I to grow and change for the better. That's why he sent Jesus to die for your sins and mine. Am I right about it? I heard somebody say God's love, listen to this, is so deep that it can penetrate the darkness of our worst thoughts. Oh, that's deep. You know we got some hidden secrets. God's love is so deep, penetrating. That stuff that we've hidden, you know when it happened. Y'all want me to call a date? 19. You know what happened that time. I got some secrets that you'll never know. Thank you, Jesus. But he knows. Anybody else that ain't got any secrets? Come on, that you don't need to tell your husband or your wife, your mother or your father. Don't get so saved. Ain't no such a thing. that you say, hey, baby, let me tell you what I did back. She might leave you. Y'all ain't gonna help me. You ever been in some situation when you was out your mind? I say it out your mind because you shouldn't have done it, you know, with a good mind. Anybody ever think back and had to take that thought off? It was so shameful.
Yeah.
Let me see your hand. I mean, it was so shameful. You couldn't believe that you did that. That's why when I hear some of the stuff that these crazy young folk are doing, I might have done. I ain't shoot nobody, I ain't kill nobody. But I did some stuff. Y'all, let me move on. Y'all too clean for me. I said, God's love is so deep, it can penetrate the darkness of your worst thought. God's love is so deep, it can wipe clean the closets and hidden places in your mind. God's love is so deep. His eraser of love can touch that dirty stain, erase it. Ajax can't do it. Clorox bleach can't do it. Dial soap can't do it. What's that latest spray to take away? It stinks. But it's only the blood of Jesus that can wash away some of the sins that you and 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 me have been guilty of. All of it. The person went on to say, God's love is so wide, it has room for everybody. Y'all ain't gonna help me. It has room for everybody. Isn't that good news? It's so long lasting that it will never let us go. It's so high that nothing can compare with it. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. Listen, it makes no difference what you're guilty of. God still loves you. Somebody needs to hear that today. I don't care what you did, how bad it has, it was, and is. God's love, he won't stop loving you. He may hate what you did and doing, but he'll never take his love from you. Give God some praise on that note. And when you allow that kind of love to control you, it changes you from what you are to who you should be.
Yeah.
That's the kind of love that Jesus has for you and me this morning. And he's still going to have it tomorrow. While we were yet sinners, give me 7.5 minutes. In other words, while we were haters, while we were plotting against other people, while we were seeking revenge, while we were holding grudges, why we didn't want to forgive somebody, why we turned our backs on him, why we were ungrateful, why we were loving somebody else, why we were filled with anger and rage, why we were doubters, why we were disobedient. In spite of all of that, God still loves us. Is that good news? In spite of you can't stand that man or woman, that son or daughter, that husband or wife, for what they did. Oh, that boss on the job, or that neighbor that snitched on you. Y'all looking at me funny. Just in case you say, and I'm almost done, I'm going to give you some points. Just in case you may think, somebody in here, that you are the exception to what we just talked. I ain't do this. You know, you got some, they start to really compare. I didn't do that. I didn't do this one. I didn't. All have sinned. You fit in there somewhere. Well, you didn't call what I did. All have sinned. See, just in case, y'all need to take this passage down. Ephesians chapter 2. 1 to 5 and 8 to 10 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. God is talking to everybody. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who still refuse to obey God. All of us, verse 3. Used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everybody else. I'm reading the Bible. But there's that consecrated conjunction. But God, verse 4, is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you and I have been saved. God saved you, verse 8, by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for any of this. It's a gift. Somebody say it's a gift. From God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done. Hello, somebody. I hate to break your bubble. You can't do enough good things for God to say, oh, you belong, deserve to go to heaven. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. God wants to show us off. Once you get saved, see, because people know it had to be something supernatural, because I know you. I know what you used to do. I know your works. Come on, somebody. It had to be. Who did they say? When did they? They go to church. See, after a while, you go to church just to appease somebody. But after a while, you won't come to church because you can't help yourself. Faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you want to be helped, you need to come to church. We're talking about that in Bible study, y'all. We're talking about why you need to come to church. Coming to church don't save you. And everybody that's in the church ain't saved. We come to church because God says that's where you should be once you are saved. You ought to be iron sharpened as iron. You need to be where other people think like you. You don't come to church on Sunday and then Sunday after you hop in with everybody unsaved. You lose what you got on Sunday morning. You need to be around. I can't have no fun. What do you describe fun as? Shaking your booty? Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You call that fun? Some people call it whoreism. Oh, let me stop. Let me stop. Now, women ain't the only ones. You got some no good men. And no good men want no good women. That's why they come to church when they're looking for a good person. That's when they want to settle down. They come to church. After they get done with you and the other four. Or five. Then they want one good one. Am I boring y'all? I got to get out of here. I'm talking about love. A power stronger than sin. How do we know love is more powerful than sin? Can I give you a scenario? Y'all remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? You know, Samaritans were half Jewish and half Gentile. Both ethnically and religiously. And that made them unclean. They weren't pure. And they were hated, the Samaritans. They were outcast in the eyes of the common Jew. And understand, the Jews believed that God chose Mount Zion in Jerusalem, while the Samaritans believed that he chose Mount Gerizim. That's why they was talking about where you went to the well, where you worship at, and well, we worship our God over here. And wait a minute, Jesus said, I'm the water of life right here for you. And the Jews of Jerusalem decided that Samaritans were not dedicated enough to the purity that God required. And in their minds, that made the Samaritans outcasts. Now, with that being said, where are you going with that? The story of the woman at the well shows us that Jesus cares for the outcasts of society.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. I know they didn't put you down, say you ain't no good. The Samaritan woman at the well was considered inferior. Why? Because of her sex, ethnicity, and relationship history. But none of that mattered to Jesus. Don't you see? None of that history, what you did wrong, mattered to Jesus. He ain't gonna love you based on condition, no. I love you anyhow. Jesus saw she had a need to be saved. In other words, the moral of that story, the Samaritan woman, it's a reminder of you and I in here today that God can save us no matter what the circumstances. Am I right about it? I'm talking about love, a power stronger than sin. And from a personal note, Jesus didn't force me to serve him. But he loved the hell out of me. That hellishness out of me. Am I right about it? Remember the love of Jesus, the woman confessed in the presence of Jesus. She started telling all her business. Yeah. And the love of Jesus made the confession of the woman at the well an attractive alternative, rather than a shameful thing to do. Sometimes we don't want to say that because it's so shameful. But with Jesus, she detected. He would not put her down if she shared with him the shame. Remember when Jesus called out the sin in the woman's life? John chapter 4 said, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. She said, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you have 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Guess what she did? She went back to her peoples, a forgiven woman, and she said, come see a man. I met a man! A real, honest to goodness man that won't put you down. He'll pick you up. Won't he pick you up? He'll turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. Say yeah. Say yeah. That's it for now. I got more. But I don't want to rush it. Come back next Sunday. Let's talk a little bit more about Jesus. Love, a power stronger than sin. Give God some praise.